Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The Supreme Court delivers freedom win for families. We're going to be talking about this development on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, it's easy just to look at this and say, okay, well, the court is allowing the Trump administration to dismantle the Department of Education. But I think there's even more in this scenario when you have Secretary McMahon saying she celebrated the decision as a significant win for students and teachers. She stated the Supreme Court confirmed the obvious, that the executive branch has the ultimate authority to make decisions about staffing levels, administrative organization, and day-to-day operations of federal agencies. These bureaucratic federal agencies, in this one, in this case, do not teach students.
No, and in fact, this is a great decision, 6-3. The Supreme Court, with an unsigned opinion, allowed the Trump administration to move forward. It lifted a lower court injunction that prohibited the president and the executive branch from dismantling the United States Department of Education by laying off people. And it required the people that had already been laid off to be rehired. So 1,378 laid off people, that lower court ordered to be reinstated. Mm-hmm. To not only stop the layoffs, but to reinstate those people who were laid off. You know, and so this is when President Donald Trump took this case to the Supreme Court, and in a 6-3 opinion in McMahon versus New York, they approved the Trump administration going forward. So the injunction from the lower court is lifted. The litigation will continue. But in the meantime, the Secretary of Education, Linda McMahon, she will be able to follow President Trump's executive order, which was issued on March 20, and prepare for the eventual shutdown of the department that would return education back to the states.
You know, it seemed as soon as President Trump took the oath that judges have been fighting, blocking everything he's trying to do to get our country back. And this is one example.
Yeah, this is a great decision. So, you know, what we have here is the lower court issued this injunction. It went up to the First Circuit Court of Appeals on June 4. The First Circuit declined to pause that injunction, let it continue to go into effect. That would have frozen President Trump's ability to restructure the Department of Education, required 1,378 people that were laid off to be rehired. That's when President Trump's Secretary Linda McMahon asked the U.S. Supreme Court to intervene. They did, set it aside. Now Trump's executive order is free to move forward. So this is an amazing situation because President Trump signed an executive order 14-242 aiming to eventually close the Department of Education. The order states that the agency has entrenched the education bureaucracy and sought to convince America that federal control over education is beneficial, close quote.
Yeah, you know, when President Trump assigned Secretary McMahon in that position, he told her, I'm putting you in there to work yourself out of a job.
Yeah,
you know?
No, it's amazing. So the order, the executive order that President Trump signed in March of this year, highlights that more than 70% of eighth graders are below proficient in reading and math, and that the department's federal student aid program is about the same size as America's largest banks, managing $1.6 trillion in federal student loan debt.
That's obscene.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
And the kids are struggling. They're not learning, but all this money for the bureaucrats, that's obscene.
Well, we did a program before about what their average salary is. It's huge.
Yeah.
The average salary, I think it was like $150,000 or something. I forgot the exact number, but it was large for members of the Department of Education.
So that just tells you that money is not going to help these children learn.
So, you know, you have the outcry from some of the Democrats and other people on the left, and they say, oh, this is going to destroy education. Well, you know, if you go back to the 1970s, this is when the Department of Education came into being under President Jimmy Carter. We didn't have a Department of Education before. It was all based on the states. And Jimmy Carter then pushed forward this Department of Education as he's running for re-election. Now, he did that because he wanted to gain votes against his opponent, then Ronald Reagan. He wanted to gain favor with the teachers' unions. And so he then pushed forward this federal Department of Education in the twilight time of his presidency. It didn't work. Obviously, Ronald Reagan trounced Jimmy Carter in the 1980 election, but that's how this all began. And then if you look at the pre and post Department of Education, our scores internationally, where we rank in all these different areas, were very high. And then every year since the Department of Education came into effect, we have dropped multiple points, multiple percentage points, year by year by year, since the Department of Education came in. So instead of helping education, the Department of Education has dumbed down the kids. They're not focused on reading, writing, and arithmetic, the three R's, if you will. They are, I don't even know why they call it three R's. I guess because you leave off A and just call
it's
arithmetic.
It's not even good grammar, is it?
Yeah, read. Or the W. Anyway, there's only one R in that.
Yes.
Reading, writing, and arithmetic. But anyway, they're not focused on the basics. They're focused on this ideology. It's run by ideologues, and then they come out with these mandates that they try to impose on states. And then they also control those entities that are the accrediting agencies. So if you are an accrediting body that accredits colleges and universities, or say law schools or dental schools or medical schools, you have to be approved by the Federal Department of Education to be a certified accreditor. And those accrediting bodies have not always been the best for higher education.
Right.
Sometimes they just make higher education more expensive, not better, but more costly. So I think it's a great thing to remove this Department of Education, and hopefully by the end of Donald Trump's presidency, there will be no one left in the Department of Education. And I think what will happen is all of the money that otherwise was going to the Federal Department of Education, that can be saved. It can be used otherwise. We can lower taxes, and we can also provide some of that to the states. And states will be able to have the control of education in their individual respective state.
But all that money you keep talking about that's going to the Department of Education, where does that come from?
Well, yeah, obviously
you
it comes from the taxpayer.
And me, yeah.
And so, you know, for those of us that are advocates of school choice,
right,
we're having to be taxed to pay for this federal bureaucracy, the Department of Education. We're having to be taxed property taxes, which is another whole issue we could talk about. I'm very much opposed to property taxes because you never own your property. But property taxes take out money to support your public educational system when, you know, you may be opposed to that, or you may be putting your money in other areas of private education or homeschool.
I'd rather help a child.
And you're being forced to fund this system that is hurting our educational system.
I'd rather help a child with a child's education versus giving it to a bureaucrat that's going to do who knows what with it.
Well, this is a good decision. So this is an emergency request that was done by the Solicitor General and taking that case to the United States Supreme Court. You know, the amazing thing is Donald Trump has been at the United States Supreme Court more than any president probably in history, and he's only done it in a few months.
Yeah.
And he's won time after time after time again.
He's a fighter.
He's had cases that have actually been argued and briefed with a decision. And he just got inaugurated on January 20. And then the other cases are like emergency orders, like the one we're just talking about. But he also has cases that have actually gone the entire route, and they've been argued and briefed, and an order has been done. And that's between January 20 and the end of June. It's a fantastic situation to watch with regards to the rapid nature of these cases, but it's all because he has taken leadership in these areas, done bold actions, And he's constantly being stymied by these judges who think that they're national policymakers. Mm-hmm. And time after time after time after time again, these judges are being reversed by the United States Supreme Court.
Yes. And so we need to continue to pray for President Trump, his administration, because it's a continual battle. I can't even imagine what he deals with on a daily basis. But we need to continue to pray for him and celebrate these great victories, like what happened here with the Department of Education, and support the team under his administration for wanting to dismantle that and put our money back into really valuable areas.
Well, education belongs to parents and families, certainly not the federal government. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. The website again, lc.org.